The Nightingale Conan Corporation is pleased to present Master Strategies for Higher Achievement with Brian Tracy, one of America's leading authorities on the development of human potential and the enhancement of personal effectiveness.
We have entered into a time of the most rapid change in all of human history. Change is affecting every single part of your life in every way, continuously, unpredictably, and accelerating at a faster rate than ever before. Old methods, ideas, and principles have fallen away and have been replaced by new, unexpected, and different ways of walking, talking, doing, thinking, and acting in every part of your life. We have never seen anything like it before, and if anything, this rate of change will increase year by year until almost everyone is suffering from the phenomenon of future shock. At the same time, the person you are and the things you want to have not changed very much at all. Just like everyone else, you want to have good relationships and get along well with other people. You want to do work that you enjoy and which you find fulfilling and satisfying. You want to be healthy and full of energy and full of vitality and live to a ripe old age. And, of course, you want to achieve financial independence so that you don't ever have to worry about money again. You have these goals in common with most of mankind. What has changed today and continues to change is the way that you achieve these goals. What worked at one time does not work very well today, and often does not work at all. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that there are three types of people. There are those who make things happen, the small minority, like yourself. There are those who watch things that are happening, a slightly larger number, like many of the people around you. And then there is the great majority who stand there with a baffled look on their face, saying, "What happened? What happened?" Your job is to be one of those people who make things happen. It is to be the kind of person and to do the kind of things that really make a difference in the world around you and in your personal life. The key to great success, to making things happen, is to develop yourself to a higher level so that you can live life in a better way than the people around you, and perhaps even better than you have lived before. In this program, you will learn a series of practical, proven ideas, methods, and techniques that you can use to accomplish more in a shorter period of time than you ever imagined possible. This is our mutual goal together as we proceed through the coming sessions. Perhaps the greatest breakthrough in the history of man has been the discovery of the power of your mind and the various ways that you can use it to bring yourself virtually anything you could ever want in life. Your mental powers are so incredible that they can build your life or destroy it, make you a prince or a pauper, keep you in rags or in riches, help or hurt you in everything you do. High-achieving men and women, in the simplest of terms, are simply those who have learned how to use their minds better than low-achieving men and women. And when you learn how to think and act the way the most successful and happy people in our society think and act, you will very quickly begin to get the same results that they do. In fact, very small changes in your thinking from less accurate to more accurate, from a worse thinking to better, from ineffective to more effective, can bring about amazing changes in your life, and sometimes very rapidly. William James of Harvard said, "The greatest revolution of my generation is the discovery that individuals can change the outer aspects of their lives by changing the inner attitudes of their minds." Remember, thought precedes both feeling and action. It is how you think that determines your emotional reaction to what goes on around you. Your thoughts, combined with your emotional reactions, determine how you will act in any situation. Between any action that happens around you or stimulus that may cause you to behave in a certain way and your reaction, the things that you do, there is always a moment where you can stop and think. In this moment, when you stop and think about what has happened and what you can do in response to it, is contained all the success and failure of life. When you develop the habit of thinking more accurately, you will react or respond in a better and more effective way. As a result, you will get better and more effective results. Soon, you will be accomplishing more in a few months than the average person accomplishes in a few years. Let me give you a simple example to illustrate the difference between thinking poorly and thinking clearly. In every computer, there are what are called power commands. These are combinations of keys that an experienced computer operator can touch to dramatically increase the rate at which the computer performs its functions or produces information. A novice using a computer may struggle for hours to accomplish very little. A skilled computer operator may work for only a few minutes to accomplish far more. Does this mean that the experienced computer operator is smarter, better, faster, or more capable than the inexperienced computer operator? And the answer is, of course not. The experienced computer operator simply knows how to use the various commands built into the computer to get it to produce 5, 10, and even 20 times as much as the novice knows how to do. You have enormous inherent potential. In fact, if you were to spend your entire life every day working to utilize more of your inborn potential, you would never be able to get within shouting distance of everything that you are truly capable of doing. You have so much intelligence, ability, and talent that you will never be able to use it all, no matter how much you try. However, by learning to think better and faster, by learning the new paradigm shifts that are taking place in every area of your life, you will be able to apply your natural abilities to getting far more out of your work and life than you ever have before. Here's what we know about your mind. It is simply that the quality of your thinking determines the quality of your life. If you improve the quality of your thinking, you will improve the quality of your life. Successful people are those who have developed positive, constructive habits of thought and action. Unsuccessful people are those who have not. Everything you are today is the result of your previous choices and decisions based on your thoughts, feelings, and ideas. If you're not happy with any part of your world today, you can, from this moment forward, begin changing the way you think and act, and you will get different results. You could say that your mind is like a fine piece of computer hardware. Your thoughts and ideas are the software or the programs that your mind runs on. You can have a fantastic mind, but if you have limited programming, or even worse, defective programming, you could run it all day and all night and not get anything good out of it. However, if you change your program so that your mental computer operates at the highest level possible, you can achieve extraordinary things. Throughout the ages, the smartest men and women who have ever lived have studied the mind. They have deduced a series of mental laws or principles that seem to apply at all times, in all situations, and with all people. I've discussed these laws at great length in other programs, but I would like to touch upon some of the most important again, especially as they relate to your success and achievement in the future. The law of belief says that whatever you believe with feeling becomes your reality. It says that you do not believe what you see, but you see what you have already decided to believe. In its simplest terms, the law of belief says that your beliefs create the actual facts of your existence because you always act in a manner consistent with them. If you want to change your behaviors and your results, you must change your fundamental beliefs first. The law of expectation says that whatever you expect with confidence becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. Your expectations have an inordinate influence on you and on the people around you. If you expect things to turn out well, you will be generally positive, optimistic, and happy. As a result, the things will turn out for the better, just as you had expected. If you expect people to be good and helpful, they will turn out to be good and helpful. If you expect to be a great success in life, you will walk, talk, and act with others exactly as if you were already a great success. As a result, your expectations will eventually become self-fulfilling prophecies. With regard to your beliefs and expectations, you have to ask yourself continually, what are mine? If you have self-limiting beliefs, beliefs about yourself that hold you back, what are they, and how can you get rid of them? If you have negative expectations, how can you change them to positive? The law of attraction says that you are a living magnet, and that you continually attract into your life people and circumstances in harmony with your dominant thoughts. This law says that everything you are or have, you have attracted to yourself because of the person you are. You can have more because you can change the person you are. This law is very powerful. When you look around you at your friends, your relationships, your marriage partners, your customers, your clients, your income, car, home, and every part of your life, and then you look inside yourself, you see that you have attracted them to yourself because of the person you are. Now, all these laws are neutral. They're neither bad nor good. They bring into your life exactly what you think about most of the time, whether positive or negative. Perhaps the most important law of all, and the foundation principle of this session and this entire program, is the law of correspondence. This law has been written about as far as 3,000 years before Christ. It is one of the most incredible laws ever deduced by observing human experience. I've personally studied this law and its correlations for more than 25 years, and I'm still amazed at its incredible power and significance. The law of correspondence says that your outer world becomes a mirror image reflection of your inner world. It's as though you lived in a room with a 360-degree mirror surrounding you. Everywhere you look, there you are. Every aspect of your life reflects back to you an aspect of yourself. What you like in others, you like in yourself. What you dislike in others, you dislike in yourself. Your health, your wealth, your relationships, your career, and every aspect of your life merely reflects the person you really are in life. In the New Testament, it says, "By their fruits you shall know them." This is one of the most profound comments in all of human literature. It says that if you want to know what is really going on inside a person, just look at what's going on in the world around them. When you look past the appearances or the positive intentions or positive hopes and wishes, and just look at the experiences of a person's life, you will see who and what they really are. What this law means is this: if you want to change any aspect of your life, you have to go to work and change yourself. And when you do that, every aspect of your external world will change to reflect the alterations that you have made in your internal world. Some of the thinking trends or psychological shifts that this idea suggests are the following. First, we've moved from the age of changing others to the age of changing ourselves. If you do go to work on yourself, the world around you will change without your having done anything. We've moved from the age of outer control, trying to control people and circumstances, to inner control, to taking control of our own thoughts and feelings. This law of correspondence, as I said, is quite incredible. It has been known and practiced throughout all of human history, and it has only been rediscovered in the last few decades in Western society. The law of correspondence leads to the great discovery that the most important part of education is learning and internalizing the fundamental principles of character and values. From the earliest Greek schools throughout the world and throughout the ages, all education has been based on teaching values to young people. When young people grow up with clear values to which they're strongly committed, they grow up as fine human beings with admirable characters who are capable of accomplishing great things with their lives. From the earliest days, all literature, drama, poetry, history, and teaching revolved around the values that were illustrated from the lives and experiences of people who had gone before. In every case, the educational experience revolved around the discussion and examination of the values to determine which were the very best to assure the greatest success and happiness in the future. A person was considered educated by the ancient Greeks when he or she was brought up to have a noble character, expressing self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. An uneducated person was a person who had not been brought up with clear, strong values, and whose behavior and decisions were therefore unpredictable and unreliable. Throughout all of history, men and women of character and values have risen to the top of most of the great institutions. Throughout all of American history up until the 20th century, values were taught and reinforced at every grade level and in every subject. It was always understood that a good country required good citizens, and good citizens were those who had good values. We know today that high-achieving men and women are very clear about their values, and they refuse to compromise them for any reason. Unsuccessful and unhappy people, on the other hand, are very fuzzy about their values or have no values at all, and they're not sure what to do from one time to the next. One of the most important things that you ever do in life is to develop clear, positive values and then organize your life around them. Because your outer life will be a reflection of your inner life, when you become a person of high character with clear, strong, positive values, your outer world will be one of success, happiness, self-respect, personal pride, and self-esteem. You will feel excellent about yourself, and other people will feel excellent about you. Doors of opportunity will be opened for you by men and women who respect your character, and you will be able to accomplish more with your life than the average person even dreams of. At the beginning of Western thought, three major philosophers stand out above all others. They were Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. Socrates put the ball in play by teaching the importance of goodness and wisdom. He first articulated what came to be called the Socratic law of causality, which we refer to as the law of cause and effect. He said that for every effect, there's a cause. and the effects that take place in human life are primarily caused by the character and values of the people themselves. The teachings of Socrates were aimed at the development of goodness and wisdom in his students. Socrates inherently knew that if young people grew up with true values and character, based on thought and reflection, they would probably have good lives. Plato was a student of Socrates. Plato's primary concern was the application of the general principles of goodness and wisdom into public and political affairs. He wondered how society could be best organized to assure the greatest good for the greatest number. Socrates never wrote anything, so everything that we know about Socratic reasoning and dialogue comes from the writings of Plato, who took notes during the talks of Socrates and later filled them out in his own words. Aristotle, the third of the three great philosophers, was a student of Plato. Aristotle studied under Plato for many years and then eventually formed his own school of philosophy. Aristotle was so highly respected in his day that King Philip of Macedon hired him for several years to be the personal tutor of Alexander, who became the master of the known world during his lifetime. Alexander continually referred to Aristotle as his master and teacher and corresponded with him throughout his life. Aristotle made the greatest breakthrough of all, in my estimation, and is often considered to be the greatest philosopher who ever lived. His key question, which was developed in his Nicomachean Ethics, was, "How shall we live in order to be happy?" Aristotle's answer to his own question was that only the good can be truly happy, and only the virtuous can be good. His conclusion, which is so relevant and important to us today, was that if you wanted to be happy and fulfilled in your outer life, as everyone does, you must become virtuous and good in your inner life. Aristotle then went on to describe the values and virtues that a truly good and happy person would have to develop on the inside if he or she wanted to enjoy an exceptional life on the outside. As a result of this incredible insight, someone once wrote that all philosophy for 2,000 years was merely footnotes to Aristotle. You develop the values that lead to an extraordinary, happy, exciting, and fulfilling life very much the way that you learn a subject or that you develop any physical ability. First, you decide the value that you wish to internalize and to make a part of your character. Second, you visualize yourself acting consistent with that value in a life situation. Third, you continually affirm and talk to yourself and others about the importance and the application of this value. Fourth, whenever you are confronted with a difficult situation, you act as if you already had this value. You behave like a man or woman of character, even if you might be tempted to behave otherwise. Finally, since you become what you teach, you instruct others, especially your children and your staff, on the importance of this value and how they can apply it in their own lives. Through this process of thought, visualization, affirmation, behavior, and teaching, you build the values into your character very much the way you install a program on your computer. Your question now might be, what are the best values for me to have and hold most dearly? Good question. My wife Barbara and I sat down one weekend and wrote out 163 values that we felt were important and by which we should be living our lives. But 163 values is almost as bad as no values at all. You really only need 3 to 5 key values to serve as the organizing principles of your life. It's hard to remember many more than that. I'm going to give you what I consider to be the top 10, based on thoughts and reflections on values that come from throughout human history. You can pick and choose the ones that you feel are most relevant to you. But remember, they are all essential to a happy, healthy, prosperous life, characterized by self-respect, self-esteem, and personal pride. The first of the values, the top of the hit parade, is integrity or honesty. Integrity is perhaps the most respected and valued quality of a human being. Virtually all of your success in life will be determined by your relationships, by the people who know you and like you and believe in you. Trust is the basis of all long-lasting relationships, and integrity is the basis of trust. In fact, on a scale of 1 to 100, a person has true character to the degree to which they have complete integrity. A person who is honest 80 or 90% of the time is a person who lacks integrity and who cannot be consistently trusted in any way. To be an outstanding person and to have an outstanding life, you must make the decision to act with the most impeccable integrity in everything you do and in all your interactions with others. Integrity means simply that you keep your word, that you do what you say you will do. Integrity means that people can absolutely rely on you to do what is right and good and necessary under all circumstances. Our greatest leaders have been men and women of integrity. It was said that it was the integrity of George Washington above all else that made the formation of the United States possible. They called him the indispensable man. The power of his character and integrity was so great that, although he didn't take part in the constitutional debates, at the end, they all turned to him and asked him to become the first president of the United States of America. And, in an act that amazed the world, at the end of 8 years, he voluntarily stepped down and turned over the presidency to the next person in line. This voluntary renunciation of power had never been done in all of human history. A very wealthy businessman once commented to me that integrity was not really of value at all, per se. He said that integrity was the quality that guarantees all the other values. Better words were never spoken. One of your chief aims in life must be to become known as a man or woman of honor. And this reputation will come naturally when you make a habit of always doing what you say you will do under all circumstances. The second value is purposefulness. Purposefulness leads to personal power and clarity. It means that you know exactly what it is you want to accomplish. You are not wishy-washy or uncertain. You have thought through who you are, what you want, and the best way to get there. Purposefulness requires that you focus single-mindedly in a particular direction toward the accomplishment of some aim or goal that you have set for yourself. Purposefulness requires decisiveness, direction, and determination. As Thomas Carlyle wrote, a person with a whole volition makes progress on even the roughest road, while a person with a half volition makes little progress on even the smoothest road. Purposefulness is the key to energy, enthusiasm, and self-esteem. Since happiness is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal, it is progressively moving toward the accomplishment of something that you have decided for yourself that makes you most happy. Purposefulness leads to intense goal orientation. When you think continually about your goal and you refuse to do anything that is not moving you toward it, you develop the distinguishing characteristic of all high-performing men and women called intensity of purpose. Given any two people, under any two sets of circumstances, the person with the greatest intensity of purpose will always prevail. The value of purposefulness, expressed in intense goal orientation, moves you from positive thinking, which is often akin to wishing and hoping, into the realm of positive knowing. When you absolutely know exactly what it is you want every minute of every day, you become a strong, forceful personality who's capable of achieving incredible things. The third major value is that of courage or boldness. This is the willingness to go forward in the face of uncertainty. It's the willingness to launch with no guarantee of success. Winston Churchill once said, "Courage is the foremost of the virtues, for upon it all others depend." The greatest enemy of your success, the greatest obstacle to your becoming everything you are capable of becoming, is and always has been the emotion of fear. It is the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of poverty, the fear of loss, the fear of embarrassment, the fear of ridicule, and 1,000 other fears that hold us back. All successful men and women are those who have learned to overcome their fears by developing the habit of courage step by step until they reach the point where they're not really afraid of anything. And how do you develop the habit of courage? You develop it by making a habit of confronting your fears. As Emerson said, "If you do the thing you fear, the death of fear is certain." Just as we become cowardly by backing away or avoiding the things and people we fear, we become courageous by confronting them and dealing with them in a straightforward way. The value of courage on the inside, accompanied by action orientation on the outside, will cause things to happen to you and for you that would not happen in its absence. To develop courage, act as if you were already courageous. Ask yourself this question: what great things would I dare to dream if I knew I could not fail? How would you behave differently if you had no fears at all? Whatever your answer is to that question, make a habit of acting as if you are totally unafraid, and surprise, surprise, your fears will begin to dwindle away, and you will begin to feel bolder and more courageous in everything you do. One of the most important of all the mental laws is the law of reversibility. This law simply says that you can act yourself into feeling and believing by acting in a particular way. You may start off not feeling particularly courageous, but if you act as if you already were, your very actions will create the feelings consistent with them, and they will lock into your subconscious as habits for the future. The fourth major value you want to build into your character is that of justice, or fairness and equity. In the Bible it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." What this means is that you should always want and insist upon for others what you would want for yourself. All reasonable men and women believe in the principle of justice and support it in their interactions with others and in the society around them. Justice, in a way, says that you get what you give, no more and no less. The value of justice means that you strive for fairness in all your relationships. You always ask yourself, what is the right and decent thing to do in this situation? You'll regret many things in life, I've found, but you'll never regret being too kind or too fair. Both the reward and penalty should fit the behavior of the other person, but when in doubt, always err on the side of being too kind and too generous. The wonderful thing about behaving with justice and equanimity, of being a truly good and decent person in your interactions with others, even when you don't have to be, is that you feel much better about yourself. In fact, practicing each value makes you feel like a better, stronger, finer, and happier human being. And the expression of these values leads to success in all your activities in life. The fifth value is that of prudence, which is the expression of judgment, foresight, and thoughtfulness. Prudence means that you take time to think before acting. It means that you carefully evaluate your situation, and especially in circumstances that affect other people, you take the time to thoroughly think through the possible ramifications of your choices and decisions. All of intelligence, especially with regard to the value of prudence, has to do with the consideration of secondary consequences. Asking yourself and thinking through what is likely to happen as a result is the mark of the truly mature, truly developed person. In fact, as Alec McKenzie wrote, action without thinking is the cause of every failure. Imprudent action or behavior is the cause of most of your problems in life. The result of practicing the value of prudence is that you feel calmer, more positive, more confident, and more in control of the situation around you. The sixth value in the top 10 is that of benevolence or kindness, compassion, and charity. The wonderful thing about being a human being is that it is normal and natural for you to feel compassionate or benevolent toward those who are less fortunate than you. In fact, you get a tremendous inner feeling of satisfaction and happiness by contributing to the lives of others. This is why we say that we have shifted in our thinking today from making a living to making a difference. The most successful people in every society seem to be those who contribute the very most to the lives of others and to the institutions in the society around them. It's been said that no one ever built a statue to a person for what they got, but only for what they gave. When you have little money, you can give of your time, your emotions, your energy, your support, and your understanding to the people around you and to organizations in your community. As you become more financially successful, you can give a combination of yourself and your money. Finally, when you become wealthy, you can give away a lot of your money, as many wealthy people do. The greatest men and women in our society today are those who are seen as making the greatest contributions to uplifting and enhancing the lives of others. The seventh value, and these values are not in any particular order of importance, is the value of faith or belief and trust in God or in a higher power. All great men and women seem to be men and women of faith. They believe that there is a greater law and a higher power that not only governs the universe, but which helps them and guides them in every area of their lives. One of my favorite quotations from the New Testament says, "Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all things acknowledge Him, and He shall guide your path." Whenever I become overwhelmed with details and difficulties, I stop myself and recite those words over and over. Having a strong faith in a higher power doesn't mean that you are passive or accepting of things around you. It simply means that you open yourself to input and guidance from a greater mind than your own. Fully 94% of Americans believe in a God of some kind. and the ones who believe the most in spiritual guidance and enlightenment are invariably the happiest and most fulfilled. The reason is simple. People who have a high, strong spiritual sense on the inside seem to have happier, more fulfilling, richer, and more successful lives on the outside. Remember, as you change your inner life so that it is more consistent with these values, your outer life will change simultaneously, almost like magic. The eighth value in the top 10 is that of excellence, or quality, class, grace, and manners in your behavior and interactions with others. Your commitment to being an excellent person and to doing your work and fulfilling your responsibilities in an excellent fashion has an amazing effect on your personality. It is the key to high self-esteem and self-respect. It's the fastest way to earn the respect and esteem of others as well. There's nothing that will move you ahead faster in your life and in the eyes and minds of the important people around you than for you to get a reputation for doing excellent work and for being an excellent person. The manifestation of integrity on the inside is the performance of high-quality work and behavior on the outside. If you are a truly honest person, you always strive to do your very best in every situation. It's been said that truly excellent people are those who can do a wonderful job of work even when nobody is looking, and even if nobody ever sees it or appreciates it. Remember, the primary reason that you behave in an excellent fashion on the outside is for the growth and development of your own character, not for the praise or approbation of others. When you do excellent work, you feel like a winner. When you feel like a winner, your self-esteem and personal pride increases. Excellence also means that you treat other people in an excellent fashion as well. You are always courteous, gracious, and generous in your interactions with others, even and especially those who can do you no good or toward those over whom you have power and control. Carlyle once wrote, "You can tell a big person by the way he or she treats little people." This is the true mark of excellence in character development. The ninth value is that of industriousness, or hard work and application. 85% of self-made millionaires in America attribute their success to hard, hard work. They say in survey after survey that they simply work far harder than other people. As a result, they accomplish far more. They earn far more, they save more, and they achieve far more in their working lifetimes. Develop the habit of working hard day after day and week after week. The average self-made millionaire in America is 57 years old and has worked more than 20 solid years to achieve that status. Always do more than you're paid for if you want to be paid more than you're getting today. Always go the extra mile at every opportunity. Remember, there are never any traffic jams on the extra mile. In fact, you can have every value and quality known, but if you do not have a reputation as being a hard worker, that deficiency alone can sabotage your entire future. The final value, number 10, and the one that underlies all the others, is that of self-discipline. Self-discipline was described by Albert Hubbard as being the ability to make yourself do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. Self-discipline is the iron quality of character. Self-discipline means that you have the ability to force yourself to do what you know is the right and good thing to do, no matter what the temptation or the external circumstances. And if courage is the willingness to launch in faith with no guarantee of success, persistence is the willingness to endure in the face of adversity and difficulty. Persistence, then, is actually self-discipline in action. The more you discipline yourself to persist when you feel like quitting, the stronger you become. The stronger you become, the better and happier you feel. The better and happier you feel, the more likely you are to persist, and the better self-discipline you will have. Every act of self-discipline strengthens every other act of self-discipline. Every act of persistence based on self-discipline raises your self-esteem and increases your feelings of personal power. The more you persist, the easier it is to persist. The most important master strategies for success revolve around the development of your own character. You develop your character by thinking clearly about the values that are most important to you, and then by practicing those values on every occasion until they lock into your subconscious mind and become a permanent part of your personality. By the law of correspondence based on the laws of belief, expectation, and attraction, you will become on the outside exactly like the person you are on the inside. If you develop the values and attributes possessed by the highest achieving men and women in our society, or in any society, you will soon begin to get the same results they do. You will become the kind of person other people look up to and want to be like. You will feel happy, confident, and fulfilled inside. You will have this wonderful experience of becoming everything that you are capable of becoming. It all begins with your thinking about the person you want to become, the way you want to behave, and the things that you want to have in your life. If you can practice that iron quality of self-discipline and keep your mind on only the things that you want while keeping it off of the things that you don't want, you will be on your way to great success and achievement in everything you do. We are entering into the golden age of mankind. Leading economists and thinkers throughout the world are coming more and more to the conclusion that we have passed a watershed in thinking and economics in the evolution of modern man, and that we are entering into a period of greater wealth and affluence than has ever been dreamed of in all of human history. There are more thinkers, inventors, creative geniuses, engineers, entrepreneurs, and companies producing more and different goods and services today than have ever before existed. Every one of these advances in every area of human life can open up countless doors of opportunities to the creative minority. Every new product and process that obsoletes an existing product or service can create a variety of opportunities for the first people in to take advantage of it. Since one of your main goals is to achieve financial independence, one of your main jobs must be to get a piece of this action and to take advantage of the doors of opportunity that are opening around you. Vince Lombardi, when he took over the Green Bay Packers, was asked if he was going to change the players, the game plans, the plays, and so on. He replied by saying, "No, we're not going to do any of that. We're just going to become brilliant on the basics." Brilliant on the basics. This is the key to your great success. And the most important of all basics is your ability to set and achieve goals in an organized fashion. Goals are the fuel in the furnace of achievement. The setting of clear, specific goals gives you energy, enthusiasm, and self-esteem. Your ability to set and achieve goals is the master skill of success in everything you do. However, just as every part of our lives has changed as we move into the information age, the setting of goals has changed as well. It used to be that you could write down a few things that you wanted, review it on a regular basis, and then go out and be successful. But today, much more is required. And the first thing that is required is a change in thinking. Here are some of the specific thinking shifts that have taken place in goal setting and goal achieving over the last few years. Today, you must change your thinking from general aims and purposes to specific goals and objectives. Everyone wants to be happy, healthy, well-liked, and financially well-off. But today, these general aims are not enough. Today, you need to be more and more specific and detailed in what you want, why you want it, and how you're going to get it than you ever have been before. You must become an expert on personal strategic planning, thinking through every step of who you are and what you want, where you're going and how you're going to get there. The reason most people are not as successful as they are capable of being is because they waste too much time doing things that are of low value or no value relative to what they really want to be, have, or do. This is such an important insight into success that I'll deal with it later in the session on time and results. With excellence in the master skill of success in goal setting, you shift from having limited potential to having unlimited potential. This means that you move from what you can do to what you can control. You move from the resources you have to the resources that are possessed by anyone. You move from the information that you have to information available anywhere in the world. You move from limited capital of your own to unlimited capital possessed by millions of people who will make it available to you if you have a good way to use it. Most people feel that the reason that they cannot be successful entrepreneurially is because they don't have the necessary money to get started. It's only after you've been in business for a while that you realize that there's really no limit whatever to the amount of money available. In fact, there are hundreds of billions of dollars that are eagerly seeking opportunities to be invested. The money is flowing all over the country and all over the world by electronic transfer. As soon as you've demonstrated that you can do something productive with money, you'll be able to get all the money you can dream of. The limitation is not in financial capital. The limitation is in human capital. The only limitation you can ever have is a lack of ideas and energy and the ability to apply those ideas to some useful end. And this can all be solved by setting goals for yourself. Another major shift that has taken place in goal setting is from getting to giving, from reaping to sowing. When I started my career in the early 60s, I was convinced that the high road to success was to get out there, work hard, and get everything I possibly could as a result of working for it. What I've learned in the last few years is that the most successful people are those who focus primarily on helping other people to get what they want. They focus on giving rather than on getting. They focus on becoming absolutely excellent at the work they do rather than trying to get rewards and recognition. They concentrate all of their energies on sowing good thoughts and actions rather than on reaping. And the most amazing thing is that these people seem to prosper more than anyone else. We have moved from the age of the go-getter to the age of the go-giver. Whenever you think of something that you want for yourself, the first question you must ask is, what kind of a person do I have to become, and what sort of things do I have to do in an excellent fashion to deserve this particular goal? What kind of a person do you have to become? What do you have to become absolutely excellent at doing? What is it that you have to do and be to fully deserve the success and happiness that you desire? When you go to work in these areas, and they always involve becoming better and better at serving more and more people, you put yourself onto the fast track to success, both for today and for the indefinite future. Realizing your full potential and fulfilling your highest purposes requires that you move from the comfort zone into the risk zone. The research on high performance is clear today, and it shows a very interesting difference between high achievers and low achievers. Low achievers are those who get into a comfort zone and then resist all attempts to get them to move out and to take chances to move in the direction of their hopes and aspirations. High achievers, on the other hand, are those who also enjoy the comfort zone, but they consciously and deliberately force themselves out of it into what you might call the zone of uncertainty. In this zone of uncertainty, they feel distinctly uncomfortable. They often feel clumsy and inadequate. They try new things and take additional chances. They feel stretched, like they are functioning on the outer edge of their own personal envelopes. But high achievers know that if they insist on staying in this zone of uncertainty, they will eventually learn what they need to learn to feel comfortable at a new, higher level of performance. And this is one of the great keys to success in everything you do. Here's the rule. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at first. In other words, it's impossible for you to grow toward the achievement of ever bigger and better goals unless you're willing to fail repeatedly. It's not perfect practice that makes perfect. It is imperfect practice that makes perfect. Nobody does it perfectly the first time. You must be prepared to do it imperfectly over and over again in order to eventually reach the point where you can perform in an excellent fashion. The wonderful thing is that we know more about how you can get more out of yourself and be more successful today than we've ever known before in all of human history. The great tragedy is that the majority of people, even though they're surrounded with these ideas and information, will not do anything about them. The majority of people, by their own admission, will continue to live lives of quiet desperation. They will wake up every morning a little bit tired, not particularly wanting to go to work and worried about money. Throughout the day, they'll grouse and complain about the countless difficulties that surround them in our modern world. Their conversations will tend to be negative and pessimistic. They'll complain about their problems and criticize other people behind their backs. They'll go home at night and watch several hours of television after eating too much dinner and finally drag themselves off to bed to get ready for another similar day. But you are different. You take good care of your health. You go to bed a little earlier and get up a little earlier. You take time to exercise both your mind and your body. You eat lean, healthy foods, and you are bright and more energetic throughout the day. You look on the bright side of everything. You associate with people who are also positive and forward-oriented. You stay away from the unhappy people whose lives seem to be in a form of neutral. Because you are unfolding your potential and striving toward the achievement of your aims and purposes, you have a continual flow of energy. You have a sense of control that makes you feel powerful and positive about your life and about the things that are happening around you. You see yourself as a creator of circumstances rather than as a creature of circumstances. You know that you are a master of change rather than a victim of change. You don't get up each morning hoping to have a good day. You get up each morning knowing that it is up to you to make it a good day. The way that you develop this attitude and belief structure of the total winner is by becoming a conscious, systematic, deliberate goal setter. You make sure that every minute of every day you are working toward the accomplishment of things that are vital and important to you. And you do this by thinking long and hard about the person you are, the person you want to be, and the things you want to accomplish. Begin with one of the most powerful thinking tools ever developed. I call it zero-based thinking. Zero-based thinking comes from the accounting method of drawing a line under every expense every year and deciding whether or not that expense is still justified based on experience. This is in opposition to the old way of just increasing the budget in any area rather than evaluating the expense all over again. In zero-based thinking for yourself, you ask this question: is there anything that I'm doing that, knowing what I now know, I wouldn't get into in the first place? Is there anything that you are doing that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't start up again or get into if you had to do it over again? This is a terribly important question. It is virtually impossible to get your life organized and to function at high levels of performance if you are preoccupied doing something that you wouldn't even get into in the first place if you had to do it over. For example, if you had to do it over, would you get into your current line of work, your current career, your current company, or your current position? Would you work in the particular state or part of the country that you're now in? Is there any relationship in your life that, knowing what you now know, you wouldn't get into? Is there any investment of your money, time, or emotion that you wouldn't make today, knowing what you now know? At this point, the superior person cuts his losses, accepts them, and gets on with the rest of his life. But the average person, if he or she isn't careful, will justify and rationalize the bad decision and think of all kinds of reasons why they should stay in that situation rather than getting out of it. How can you tell if you are in a zero-based thinking situation? The easiest way of all is by measuring your level of stress. Whenever you are in a situation that you shouldn't be in, you will tend to be preoccupied with that situation. You will think about it continually. Sometimes it will keep you awake at night. Often it will cause you psychosomatic illnesses like headaches, colds, flus, insomnia, and even constipation. A zero-based thinking situation is something that makes you angry or irritated. When you think about it, you become impatient or resentful and often talk about it in a negative and derogatory way. It is like an elephant in your living room. You can't move the furniture of your life around without taking the existence of the elephant into consideration. Every person that I've ever met has at least one situation that they wouldn't get into if they had to do it over again. This means that you probably have at least one situation yourself, and perhaps several. So the next question is simply this: how do I get out of it, and how fast? In the previous session, I talked about the importance of courage. Courage is almost always the essential quality or value that you need to deal with a zero-based thinking situation. You have to have the courage to confront the fear that is associated with a negative person or negative situation. You have to belly up to the bar of reality and face the fact that you made a mistake. But now, your goal is to live your life fully in every respect. In order to do that, you have to get out of the situations that you wouldn't get into so that you can get into the situations that you want to get into to fulfill your potential. Once you've cleared your mental decks by deciding to eliminate from your life all those people and situations that you would not get involved with if you had to do it over, you are ready to begin the process of personal strategic planning. Personal strategic planning involves a series of mental tools and principles. As I said earlier, the better you think, the better life you will have. And nothing is more important to you than in this area of setting clear goals and purposes for your future. To start with, allow yourself to dream big dreams. Allow yourself to stand back and imagine that all things are possible for you. Imagine that there are no limitations on what you can be or have or do. Play with this idea for a while and imagine that you have all the time, money, intelligence, knowledge, resources, and people that you could possibly need to accomplish all the goals that you could possibly set for yourself. Take a sheet of paper and in a few minutes write out a dream list. Make a list of all the things that you would be, have, or do if you had no limitations whatsoever. Allow yourself to dream freely. This is the mark of all high-achieving men and women. They decide what they really want before they decide what's possible for them. They decide what would make them really happy before they look at how much money they have in the bank. They start with the end in mind, as Stephen Covey would say. They project forward and look backward. They practice back from the future thinking. They project into the future and think what their ideal life would look like, then come back to the present and decide how they're going to get from where they are to where they want to go. And as the strategic planner Michael Kamy once said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. If you're married, you should sit down with your spouse and you should both brainstorm a dream list. Many couples have totally changed their entire lives through this exercise. My wife Barbara and I construct a dream list every year at Christmas for each area of our lives. We decide the ideal things that we would like for ourselves, our businesses, our children, our health, our family, our friends, and so on. It's a wonderful bonding experience between two people to sit and dream together of the perfect life they can create. And if one person with a dream can accomplish great things, two people with the same dream are two or three or five times as powerful. Try it yourself and you'll be astonished at the results you'll get in a very short period of time. The next stage of strategic planning, after dreaming big dreams, is to determine your values. We talked about this in the last session. Now that you have an idea of some of the values that are life-enhancing and personally enriching, it's up to you to decide the most important ones for yourself. Your values make you the person you are. Your values are the primary motivators of all your behaviors. Everything you do is motivated by a value of one kind or another, whether you are conscious of it or not. Samuel Johnson once said that the surest way to tell what your true values are is to look back at your most recent behaviors. It is always your actions that tell yourself and others what you truly believe and value. It is not what you say or wish or hope or intend. It is only what you do that counts. And everything counts. Everything you do counts. Everything adds up or takes away. Everything helps or hurts. Every single word or action on your part reveals who you really are, what you really believe, and what you truly value. Fortunately, because of the law of reversibility, if you're not particularly happy with a certain value or series of values that you seem to have right now, you can change them by deciding to act consistent with the new values that you desire until they eventually replace the old values as motivators of your behavior and as the determinants of your conscience. Select 3 to 5 values to be your basic organizing principles. Most people select values like God, family, and health, plus perhaps integrity and courage or persistence. You can have main core values, and you can have subsidiary or secondary values. You need to live consistent with all the values to have a truly happy, satisfying life, but you can only concentrate on one thing at a time, so you need to be selective. And your hierarchy or order of values is vitally important as well. A higher order value takes precedence over a lower order value. If you say that your values in order are family, health, and career, it means that your family takes precedence over all else. Your health takes precedence over all else except for your family, and your family and health take precedence over your career. Whatever is your highest value, that will determine what you will do when you find yourself under pressure. When push comes to shove, you always demonstrate your true values. This is why Epictetus, the Greek philosopher, once said that adversity doth not make the man, it merely reveals him to himself, and to others for that matter. Once you've determined your values and set the highest values that you can possibly imagine for yourself and organize them, you then create a personal mission statement for yourself. Your personal mission statement is a description of how you would like to be known to and described by others in the world around you. It's the way you would like people to think about you and talk about you sometime in the future. Your mission statement is always an expression of your values and a crystallization of your vision of the kind of person that you want to become. Here's an example of a mission statement. I am an outstanding human being in every respect. I am honest, kind, loving, loyal, and true to my family, friends, and everyone who knows me. I am a positive, optimistic, confident, warm, friendly person who is admired and respected by everyone. I am an excellent parent, a fine employer, and I do my work in an outstanding fashion every single time. I uplift, encourage, and inspire everyone I meet, everywhere I go. Now, let's face it, that might be a highly flattering personal mission statement, but it's probably consistent with the kind of person that you would really like to be known as sometime in the future. It's merely a description of the very best person that you or anyone else could possibly be. So why not set that or something like it as your mission statement? Write it down and read it every day. Each time you get into a difficult situation in life, think of how you would behave if you were already the person that you had decided to become. In this way, the most amazing thing happens. You begin to shape and form your own character and your own personality. If you think about the person you want to be on a regular basis and continually compare how you are behaving with the person that you would like to become, you have a tendency to get better and better. Eventually, your mission statement becomes your reality. You will have taken complete control over the evolution and development of your own character and personality. You've now dreamed big dreams, decided on your core values, and written out your mission statement. The next step is for you to set clear goals for every area of your life. These goals can be big or small, short-term or long-term, extremely ambitious or comfortably cautious. In any case, like writing out a dream list, write out your goal list in terms of what you really want rather than in terms of what you think is really possible for you at the moment. When you write down a list of goals and make written plans for their accomplishment, you increase the likelihood that you will achieve those goals by as much as 10 times. In my public seminars around the country, I continually urge people to make a list of 10 things they want to accomplish in the next year once the seminar is over. I tell them not to worry, just put today's date on the top of the sheet of paper and make a list of at least 10 things that they would like to be, have, or do over the next 12 months. I then tell them to take that list and put it away somewhere where they won't see it for an entire year. At the end of a year, take out the list and read it, and they will find that the most incredible thing has happened. It's almost like a magic trick. At least 8 of the 10 things on that list will have been accomplished in the most remarkable and unpredictable ways. Now, at every seminar I go to around the country, people come up and tell me that they tried this idea out the last time I was in town, and they were astonished to find that it worked. Sometimes, several people come up to me at a seminar and talk to me about the fact that 80% of their goals were achieved. People have new cars, new homes, new clothes, and new jobs, new marriages, and so on. It's the most incredible thing. And yet, according to the statistics, even after hearing this piece of advice, only 3% of the population will actually take the time and make the effort to write down 10 things they want to accomplish. Make sure that you are among those top 3%. One of the very best models for personal strategic planning is called the GOSPA model, G-O-S-P-A. These 5 letters stand for goals, objectives, strategies, plans, and activities. One of the discoveries that changed my life some years ago was learning that any plan is better than no plan at all. Any structure for a personal strategic plan is 10 times as powerful as no structure. And this is one of the most powerful personal planning structures ever developed. Here's how it works. Your goals, the first part of the GOSPA model, are the longer-term, specific, measurable, time-bounded objectives that you wish to accomplish sometime in the future. For example, you may want to double your net income over the next 2 or 3 years. That would be a goal. You may want to achieve a certain level of net worth or a certain amount of passive income from dividends and royalties from your savings. These would be specific goals. A friend of mine decided to run a marathon in 6 months. This was a specific goal, and he accomplished it. All goals are clearly written in detail in as specific a language as possible. The more detailed you describe the goal, the more you believe that it is possible for you. then the more confidently you expect that the things you are doing are contributing toward it, and the more you attract people and circumstances into your life to help you to achieve it. And the more you write out your goals, the more you program them into your subconscious computer so that the law of correspondence causes your outer world to become a reflection of the goals that are in your inner world. The second letter, O, in the GOSPA model stands for objectives. If your goals are what you would reach at the top of the ladder, your objectives are the rungs on the ladder or the stairs on the staircase up to your goals. As you know, it's very hard to climb a ladder without stepping firmly on each rung as you go. Your objectives are similar. They are the specific things you will have to accomplish, the things you will have to do, have, and be in order to reach the top of your ladder, in order to reach your specific, measurable, time-bounded goals. The third part of the GOSPA model, S, stands for strategies, and it refers to how you will go about accomplishing each of your objectives. There are several ways that you can go about achieving a particular objective. Your job is to think about your existing talents, abilities, and experience, plus your existing resources, and decide the most economic way to go about accomplishing that job objective. Remember, as Robert Schuller wrote, "By the yard it's hard, but inch by inch, anything's a cinch." The fourth part of the GOSPA model, P, stands for plans, and these refer to the individual steps that you will have to take to accomplish the strategies that enable you to achieve the objectives that will lead you toward your goal. One of the best ways to develop your plans is to use the practice of mindstorming. Write down a question that demands specific answers, such as, "What can I do to increase my sales skills to the point where I can earn X number of dollars per month?" Then write down 20 different answers to that question, 20 different things that you can think of doing that will enable you to upgrade and enhance your skills so that you can achieve your earnings objective on the way to reaching your goal. After you've written out at least 20 answers to the question, pick at least one answer and implement it immediately. All goal achievers are excellent at making plans. All really successful men and women think on paper. They are constantly making lists of things that they can do to move more rapidly toward the achievement of their goals. The last letter in the GOSPA model is A, which stands for activities. Perhaps the most outstanding characteristic of high-achieving men and women is that they are intensely action-oriented. They don't wait for things to happen, they make things happen. They are characterized by high levels of initiative and a willingness to get busy and get going to get things done at every opportunity. You must be the same. Let me repeat. G stands for goals, which are the long-term, specific, measurable, and time-bounded outcomes or results that you wish to achieve with your life. O stands for objectives, which are the intermediate steps that you will have to accomplish, the things that you will need to be, have, or do to achieve your goals. S stands for strategies, which are the ways that you will go about achieving your objectives. P stands for plans, which are the lists of things that you will have to do to implement your strategies. And the last letter, A, stands for the activities, the daily actions organized by priority that you will have to engage in hour by hour to fulfill your ultimate plan. In setting your goals, there are a series of questions that you should ask yourself on a regular basis. These questions help you to focus your thinking and concentrate your attention on the areas of activity where you can make the greatest difference. First, divide your life into the three major areas of home and family, business and career, and self-improvement. Your home and family represent the why of your life. These are the reasons why you are doing what you're doing. You must be very clear about what you want to accomplish in your personal life before you can really get organized and motivated in the rest of your life. Your career and financial goals are the what. These are the things that you will have to do in order to achieve your personal and family goals. Your self-improvement goals are the how, the ways you go about achieving the business and career goals so that you can enjoy your personal and family goals. In each of these areas, you should ask yourself what it is that you really, really want for yourself. What goals would you set if you had no limitations whatsoever? If you could do or be or have anything in any of those three areas, what would you want? H.L. Hunt once said that the secret of success in America is simple. It is contained in 2 points. The first is to decide exactly what you want. The second is to determine the price you're going to have to pay to get it, and then to get busy paying that price. When I do strategic planning sessions for corporations, I continually remind them that clarity is 80% of success, both in personal and business life. You need to be absolutely clear about your goals and keep thinking about them and writing them down until someone could wake you up out of a dead sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning and ask you, and you'd be able to tell them without blinking an eye. What are your 3 most important goals in life right now? Give yourself only 30 seconds to decide on your 3 most important goals in life. This is a powerful exercise that clears your mind quickly. If you only have 30 seconds to answer this question, your answers will be as accurate as if you had 3 hours. What are your 3 major problems or worries in life right now? What 3 things bother you, preoccupy you, or make you anxious or angry more than anything else? Your 3 most important goals in life will tell you the direction toward which your life is heading. Your 3 biggest worries in life will tell you the situations you are heading away from. Because of the pleasure-pain principle, we always move toward our goals, our pleasures, and away from our worries and problems, which represent our pains. These questions, what are your 3 most important goals and what are your 3 major worries, are a very quick way of your getting a fix on yourself and where you are in your life. Here's another question. What would you do? How would you change your life if you won $1 million in cash, tax-free, tomorrow? If you were given $1 million prize and the only requirement was that you made out a list of how you would change your life with that $1 million, what would be the first thing that you would write down? What would you do first? How would you change your work, your family, your home, or your health? If you had $1 million and you had to decide quickly, how would you change your life? This is another way of asking the question, what would you do if you had all the time and money in the world? If you were completely free to choose your behaviors, what would you do differently? And whatever you wrote as an answer to that question is probably possible for you. What we have learned is that there is a cosmic connection between the brain and the hand. Anything you can write down, you probably have the capacity to accomplish. You may not be able to achieve it as fast as if you had $1 million in the bank, but if you want it long enough and hard enough and are willing to work toward it single-mindedly, there's virtually nothing that can stop you from accomplishing anything that you could write as an answer to that question. Here's another question for you. What would you do? How would you change your life if you learned today that you only had 6 months to live? If you learned today that you had a rare, incurable illness that would enable you to enjoy perfect health for 6 months, but then you would drop stone dead, what would you do during the last 6 months? The answer to this question will tell you what your true values are. Invariably, your answers revolve around the people that you would want to spend time with if you only had 6 months left. All material goals would disappear instantly if you learned that you only had a short time to live. Sometimes in my seminars, I'll ask people what they would do if they learned that they only had 60 minutes left to live. This is the kind of question that focuses your mind very quickly. If you only had 60 minutes left, 99% of the things that you worry about on a day-to-day basis would become irrelevant instantly. Here's another question. What is it that you really love to do more than anything else? What is it that you enjoy more than anything else? What sort of activities give you the greatest feeling of pleasure and accomplishment? What sort of activities make you the happiest? What gives you your greatest feeling of importance? One of the great secrets of success in personal strategic planning is to decide what it is that you really love to do. Napoleon Hill said that one of the keys to success is to decide what you enjoy doing and to find a way to make a living at it. The wonderful thing is that if you dedicate your whole life to doing those things that you most enjoy doing, you will be one of the happiest and most fulfilled people you can imagine. And even if you don't make a lot of money, you won't even notice it. All truly successful people are doing what they really love to do, and they're doing it with their whole heart. Once you have written answers to these goal-setting questions, your final step is to determine your major definite purpose. This is the one goal, the accomplishment of which will help you achieve more of your other goals than anything else. It could be health, it could be wealth, and it could be relationships. What is your major definite purpose? What is your biggest single goal in life right now? And if you don't know what your major definite purpose is, and most people don't, then make it your major definite purpose to discover your major definite purpose. Just as you cannot ride two horses or two bicycles at the same time, you can't have two major definite purposes. You can only have one. And your ability to decide upon your most important goal, to make a plan for its accomplishment, and to work on that plan every single day will start to move you forward at a speed that will astonish both you and everyone around you. Personal strategic planning requires that you constantly be evaluating what is going on around you and changing in response to unexpected external pressures and variations. Personal strategic planning requires that you move from getting organized to continual reorganization. You must move from structured living to continually restructuring your activities so that you're always working on the things that are most important to you. You must move from engineering outcomes to re-engineering every part of your life. With personal strategic planning, you move from focusing occasionally to refocusing continually on your most important goals and tasks. You move from evaluating your life, your talents and abilities, to continually re-evaluating yourself and everything you're doing to make sure you're still on track. The process of personal strategic planning moves you from thinking in terms of limited potential to thinking in terms of unlimited potential. By setting goals and writing them down, by making plans and writing them out, by organizing your plans by priority and importance, and by working towards your major definite purpose every single day, you take complete control of your life and your future. You move into the ranks of the highest performing men and women in our society. You virtually guarantee great success in your life and career.